Double Dribble. The ball is in your court, and it's time to play a little 5-on-5. And welcome to Nostalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Sean.
Guys, we are in the thick of September. And I'm not talking about September our year. I'm talking about September 1987. 15 games this month on the NES in September of 1987. I think it's safe to say that this NES thing's going to be a hit and that the games are finally, you know, like the floodgates are opened.
That's a lot of games, Mike.
It's a lot of games.
I think even now, 2018 or 2019, depending on where you're listening to it, it's still up in the air. Whether the NES will take off.
Like, again?
Well, just at all. Like, it's. I don't know if we have enough data yet.
He's right. Okay. I mean, they haven't released a game for that system in a long time.
Right, that's true.
Interestingly enough, I can't believe I didn't think we would go on this tangent, but a couple of guys are actually working on, you know, like all those plug-and-play games consoles that you just, like, you know, you're meant to just plug into your TV? Those all have NES chips in them. So those are all brand new NES games that are just not being documented and saved. So if no one's dumping those games, then they just are gonna, like, and all the copies die. That's it. So, like, you can get, like, you know, a brand new NES updated version of Jeopardy, because it's a plug and play Jeopardy. You can just get that and have it, and it's a whole new ROM and things to play. I don't know if we're gonna do them on this chronological exploration.
Do they have the Nintendo seal of approval?
They don't.
Okay.
And I don't even know if Nintendo knows that they're doing it.
Hopefully they'll listen to this podcast.
It's just a fun thing I had to bring up. But guys, Konami.
Konami, but I don't know.
I like Konami. Konami is at it again, and this time they're tackling a different sport. That sport?
Basketball.
And what sport before that? Track and field.
Track and field.
It's just a little pop quiz. It's been a little while. They did track and field, which came out in April of 87. So it's been just a few months and they're ready to try another sport. And I got to say, I liked what I saw out of track and field. I definitely thought that sport game was
competent,
unlike some Nintendo releases.
It's true.
For sports games. So this came out. Double Dribble is a name that you recognize, or what? Like, do you guys recognize that Double Dribble name?
I don't expect it to be a video game. Like, I had not heard of this game.
Got it.
I've heard of this game from a Nirvana the Band the Show video that you showed me.
Oh, and yes, that's the only place Wii that I've Shopping heard of it. Channel. Yes, that one, everybody should go check that out. I'll put that in the show notes, maybe, if someone reminds me. If I don't put it in the show notes, just call me. I'll be like, hey, where's that link? And I that goes for anything I've ever done, where I say I'm going to give you a link.
Anything he's ever done.
Just call me out. But don't call me out on what I did in fourth grade. That was legal. So Double Dribble came out in the arcade first in 1986. So not that much of a gap between the arcade version and the NES version. But I just thought that before we talk too much about the NES version of the game, I had to mention while I was researching the arcade version of this game that it has, honestly, crazier microtransactions than today's games.
You serious?
And not in the sense of, like, that kind of microtransactions, but just, like, it, like, the way that it artificially inflates your time into putting money into the games is where you keep playing it. So the arcade version was actually, like, it was timed. So after every minute of play, the game was owed a credit if the score was either tied or the computer is ahead. So if after 1 minute of play, if you were beating the computer, you got a free minute.
Wow.
You know, but every minute that you were behind, you'd have to pay for.
So do you have to just, like, try and balance playing the game and rustling through your pocket?
No, it would pause. It would just straight up stop at the end of that minute. So many average players could earn maybe the first minute for free. But every minute becomes, they up the CPU to be harder.
I thought you meant it was going to get more expensive for every minute.
That would have been, actually, that would have been better.
That's
because
insane.
What they actually wind up doing by making the CPU harder and harder every single minute, it's like they make it to the point where a 3-point shot is virtually impossible for you. Like, you can't get 3-point three-pointers anymore. You can only go for two and slam dunks.
Which will fail more often, probably.
Yeah, they'll fail more often. It's basically just, like, designed so that after 10 minutes, you're going to get locked out of this game. You will have to pay again to keep going.
Well, that's capitalism.
Yeah, and it's no surprise, I guess, that comes from Konami.
Konami, they really don't care about you, and they let you know it.
Does that difficulty at least like reset once you've paid, and it's like, okay, now you get a couple more like easier?
You know, that part I couldn't figure out. It seemed to not change. It seems to only change if you like start from zero again. You know, which is funny that you mentioned that, because, yeah, it still costs the same amount to keep going. So it's like, you might as well just play the first minute every single time.
And ten times.
And then if you have to pay, you might as well just walk away from the machine and start over. All right. So we can talk about the game now.
All right.
Anybody want to talk about how basketball works?
Okay. Yeah. So I'd like to start by saying that it's strange that this game is named after like a foul. Like you're not supposed to double dribble.
Double dribble though for me it sounds cool.
Yeah, right? I mean like it's got alliteration.
It's no NBA Jam.
No.
Like it doesn't sound like I'm about to have the time of my life. But it definitely doesn't sound like I'm committing a foul. It sounds like I'm actually like doing something cool when it says double dribble.
You are if you're double dribbling. But I would say that it definitely has all the rules of basketball.
Okay.
For the most part.
And this is our first basketball game on the NES, too. No one else has tackled this yet. And I don't know if that's because basketball at the time wasn't as popular as the other sports.
It was still pretty popular.
Yeah,
but
yeah, exactly. We still haven't seen hockey.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I think it's just interesting to notice like which games are coming up, because we've already had skiing.
Yeah,
but we haven't had.
Well, like we're Northerners. We're gonna be more towards hockey. I mean, hockey didn't even blow up in the South until at least like they had all those expansion teams, and that was not for a while.
Yes, anyway,
we're not talking about hockey, and it's interesting that they have some of the big cities. They approximate team logos and colors.
Yeah, this was kind of like how NES Baseball, which is haunted, that game had, if you were playing the North American version, it had like letters to correspond to teams, but they couldn't license that out, and they didn't license it out here either. Those licenses were expensive, so they said, screw it, we'll just call the team Boston. No need for Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't think there was a Boston team, but
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. like there was a New York team, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a New York team,
were blue.
LA, Chicago.
Yep.
But when we're actually talking about the game and how the game plays, it is entirely broken.
Okay. And would you like to start that off?
Sure. I mean, so I think like the biggest problem with the game we can get to in a bit, but you start the game by doing a tip off, and regardless of how you should actually like do a tip off, it's always go second, because if the first guy will pick the ball out of the air and then you just jump and rip it out of his hands, and that's just how it works.
As one does.
Yeah, as one does in basketball. Then you try your hardest to get up into a shooting range, and then you just go into the top right corner and shoot a three, and you will always win. That is the strategy.
You know, it takes a lot of time, I guess, to find that spot by your own. Like, if you go on Game FAQ, you'll find it right away.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it takes time to figure that out. But I think that ruins my favorite thing about this game, which is that jump timing mechanic, you know, of, like, being able to, like, kind of have a moment where it's like, if you release the ball right here, it'll go in. But only because you're at this distance from the net, you know, and it's like the closer you are, the less you have to jump and the further back you are. But once you figure out that perfect spot, it's almost like it's just how fast can I get there?
How did you guys figure out that perfect spot?
Well, I found it out through Game FAQ, you know, that's why I'm saying like it takes time to like when I was playing by myself just against the computer, I was actually losing pretty badly. So my thing was, how do I get better? So I went on to Game FAQ and I didn't try to abuse that too much because I actually found that like, If you can steal the ball, like that's the best strategy because they'll never score as long as you know how to properly steal the ball.
Yeah, I could only win a game by the three-pointer exploit.
See, I didn't know about the three-pointer exploit
until right now. I only found out about it because, you know, I played it a couple times, and I was like, okay, I'll check and see what other people have said about this game. And I saw that there was a Family Guy clip.
Yes, they play Double Dribble on Family Guy, and you know what's weird? It's the actual.
It's the actual.
It's the
game.
Actual. It's like the graphics and everything. So, like,
yeah, well, it's actually. I think they stole it off of YouTube.
Wow.
And they never credited the guy.
That's so bizarre. They don't do the 3-point trick though, do they?
They do the 3-point.
Oh
trick,
my goodness!
And that's how I found out about it.
That is so funny.
But they comment like, "Hey, you can't do that corner shot." And I guess it's the only way you can play this game, like with a friend, and be somewhat fair. Just like, okay, we will do a gentleman's agreement,
right,
to not do the corner shot.
See, because I was very surprised when you said it was this game is really broken, because I didn't think so at all. But I didn't know about that. Is there another reason you thought it was broken, or was
The fact that there's only one strategy for the tip off and
the stealing the ball thing too?
Stealing's kind of wonky.
Stealing, you have to be in front of the other person, which I thought was weird. You can't do it from behind. But once you're in front of them, like that's the whole objective of when they have the ball, is just like run in front of them as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Hit the steal button. It's going to work. It's not like there's a percentage odds thing. You know, it's like as long as you are in the proper spot, you're going to steal the ball from them. So once I figured out how to do that, even the game got easier, you know?
Right. It's a little difficult, though, because there's no variety in like running speed. So if you're behind him, you're always going to be behind him.
Sure, but I mean, like, you know, if the way the team is structured, you can select which player you control, which I thought was great that you can do that. We haven't really seen that in a game.
That worked pretty well, being able to change your guy.
I thought that, like, compared to any other team sport game we've played so far, I think this has worked the best.
We all remember volleyball. They butchered.
I think
a
that
team
volleyball.
Sport.
Yeah, volleyball is definitely the worst when it comes to being able to select a specific player.
How did soccer do?
I think that soccer was one of the better ones. I think that soccer is still like the most polished like team sport game I've played on the NES.
Okay. Were you guys impressed at all by the accuracy of the game, like to get all the rules down? We played so many of these sports games that like a lot of the rules are either like missing, or they're half baked, or there's only some enforced. Like,
I'm not sure if there was a shot clock. I think that maybe it's something that I wasn't paying attention to, because it's kind of hard not to take a shot within 24 seconds. I think that it's really easy to foul, like just inexplicably.
Yeah. I noticed that too. Just like I had to like run by someone. Like,
yeah,
I
and get, oh, you got pushing.
Yeah.
And I never was fouled upon very often. I think I got a couple free throws.
So we're in the camp of not that accurate.
I would say it's like it's got some stuff going for it and some stuff not so much.
It feels like for an NES game of this time, it feels like did pretty good.
Well, I'm thinking. Yeah, exactly.
Based
I'm
on
thinking
other NES games.
Follows the rules of the sport well. Accuracy missing,
yes.
You know, and I think that is possible. That makes sense. You know, it's like it's one thing to get the fouls, but it's like the accuracy of how the fouls are given.
I mean, like if you do you will get a backcourt violation, like that's in the game. Like it's they're there, but it's poorly executed in some points.
Guys, are there enough choices in this game for variety? I mean, you got four teams, three levels of single play difficulty, and four choices of quarter lengths. Is that enough?
I think that. Like, what else would you want?
No, I'm saying that in a way that sounds negative, but I guess, you know, if I'm answering my own question, I do think that's enough. I think that's actually a lot more choices than we're used to.
It is.
I don't think everyone is going to feel like this, but the way that I would play a game like this, and the way I think that is the best way for me to play it, is play it against the computer a half a dozen times, get the hang of it, whatever, just and then forever. That would just be a game I would play against a friend.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, I agree. That's the point. And also, I'm with these kinds of games, these arcadey sports games, I tend to have the time length to the shortest possible. So this way, it's like, you know, that game's over. Let's do another one. Right. You know, something I was gonna say with the quarter lengths, though, I thought that was really neat, because we haven't really had that in too many other sports games. I mean, I would have loved in NES baseball to be like, this one's just going to be a 3-inning game, you know?
Right. Yeah,
the
9-inning
obligation is way too long for that game. That game overstays its welcome in its own 9-inning game.
Yeah.
Was the cutscene for the dunk. There's a cutscene for when you dunk the ball. And there's two variations too, right? There's like one where your arm leaps forward.
And then there's one where it's like a backwards dunk.
But you don't shatter the glass.
In the manual, I think it says something like, to dunk, press this, and then sit back and enjoy this movie, the three frames.
Movie,
but it, was something
it says
like that
in the manual?
It says like something along the lines of like, and then enjoy the, you know, I don't know what they say. They might say movie, but...
No, that's great. I thought that was super cool. I enjoyed that touch.
I'm also sort of wondering, though, because you can fail a dunk, and you'll just hear this very unpleasant, like, sound of it bouncing off the rim. And I just want to know, like, how do they calculate that? Like, is it just RNG, or did you just approach it wrong? Because they'll play the movie.
Yeah.
It ends with brunk.
Oh, wait, really? I didn't know. I thought if the movie played, it meant that you succeeded.
No. The computer failed several times for me.
Yeah. I thought one thing that was interesting with the dunk, too, is that I noticed that I missed dunks more when I was running, like, too aggressively at the net, like if I was running up to it and then dunking like late, that would happen. So maybe it was just an idea that like as I was approaching it, I didn't quite land the ball in the net.
Yeah.
But like, you know, that could just be my mind, you know, getting playful and being like, oh, that's why it happened.
Instead, hand waving away something.
That's why it happened. Not because the game just decided you don't deserve that point. We're going to just bounce it out anyway. I think. You guys can tell me if you saw it, but I think this might be arcade only. If you, in the arcade one, if you take a jump shot, there's also a chance for a cutscene.
I never saw that.
I never saw that either, so I'm going to list that as arcade only, but I did check out the cutscene on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you know, it's just a
jump shot.
Grainy and pixely as the other one, but it still looks cool. I think those moments make it feel cool.
No, yeah, I think
they add flair.
It adds flair. It's it's not quite as heckin' awesome as having a ball set on fire in NBA Jam, but like that NBA Jam wouldn't be NBA Jam without its really weird over the top parts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I think that this game at its core has a lot going for it. And then just like a lot of stuff on the periphery sort of makes it jank.
And this game needed music too during the game. Like, I feel like there was something there, but
I think they were like trying to do like the squeaks.
Right. Exactly. Squeaks. And I'm like, okay, sure. Like that's enough. But like the game wasn't fully, you know, immersed in realism to begin with, so just put a fun track under that, like that would have been fine. Maybe they were worried, like how we complain about some other games where it's like if the music track is just a 1 minute looping thing, you're gonna get tired of it.
They did have a pretty good track in that halftime show. Like,
oh,
that stood out to
me.
Forgot
like, about
that sound. This is actually like a good track just for this like one little halftime show that happens in between.
Apparently any sports game that has a halftime show is great. You know, like we loved soccer.
I think soccer was crazy. Is soccer the only one that's had one so far?
Did volleyball have?
I'm trying to think about if volleyball had one.
I don't remember.
I know that
tennis definitely did not.
Yeah, but no, it's the same thing. You know, like they're a little better rendered in this one in terms of like the shape of a person. They're not ET looking figures like in soccer,
and you get mascots. And I
the
actually,
true mascots.
I didn't test it. Do the mascots?
I don't think they
correspond
line up
with a team.
I mean, maybe.
No, not like in real life, but like.
No, I mean, like, I don't think that I saw like a bear and then a weird green alien, and I don't think that either of those are for New York or LA or anything like that.
Yeah. So like, so no matter what two teams you pick, you're gonna get the bear and
you just get
frog. Or
yeah, frogs. We'll be right back.
later, this game was North America first, which is, you know, kind of rare for us. But this game being basketball centric was more of, you know, in line
more
for the North American audience.
American, yeah.
But it is weird that Konami's giving it to us, you know, yeah. Like a Japanese company giving a North American game first. But it would come to the disc card format in Japan for the Family Computer Disc System. But they changed the title.
Okay.
It's no longer Double Dribble.
What is it now?
I want each of you to give me one guess for an exciting basketball name.
Okay. I'm going to say...
Traveling.
No. Traveling? Okay, no. I like that. Traveling.
Okay, no, that sounds like a... like a very introspective, like, visual novel or something.
Well,
like
no,
that.
Ed, you're keeping it in line with the fouls.
Right.
Double Dribble, now Traveling.
Slam Dunk 87.
Slam Dunk 87. Okay. I asked for an exciting basketball name, so what was wrong with exciting basketball? That's, they changed the title to exciting basketball.
You boomed me.
You better believe that he's so good. You better believe that exciting basketball sold okay. given the marketing right. around it, sold okay. And Double Dribble also came to the Sega Genesis. And okay. not something that we like
the
to
Genesis?
Talk about too much. Yeah, the Sega Genesis.
Probably upgraded some stuff.
Yeah,
there.
It's 16-bit. Yeah. It's called Double Dribble Playoff Edition. And it allows for eight players. Eight players at home.
Wow.
So eight friends can all hook up to one Genesis using a peripheral.
Wow. Wow. Genesis,
and,
so they had like
and do 4-on-4. Yeah, it was like a multi-tap, essentially.
That's insane.
I'm trying to think of what the name... It's called the Sega's Team Player Adapter Peripheral, and it lets eight different players play the game.
Wow.
I think that's awesome.
That would have been... I mean, I feel like that would have been like a mess, but...
Yeah, it reminds me... I remember there was always like I was big on WWF, and there was a wrestling game for like Sega Saturn called Royal Rumble, and I don't know if you guys know, but like...
they had that for PS1 as well, right?
Yeah, and Royal Rumble is like a one where like 30 people enter the ring, and like if you leave the ring, you're out. And the whole idea was that this was the first WWE game that would let you have eight people control players in the ring at the same time. And it was like, whoa, like that's really close to a real Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Eight is close to 30 when you're a kid. And also Double Dribble, keeping it alive even today. Double Dribble Fast Break for iOS.
Fast Break. Oh, I like
Double
that.
Double Dribble Fast Break.
Does it play similarly?
Yeah, it's pretty much Double Dribble.
Okay.
You know, like the NES one is pretty much that, since it's the version most people are familiar with. Just updated to have better graphics, but
yeah.
Mostly the play style is the same. And I just think you can't play that anymore. If you have anything new, like you'd have to buy like an iPhone 4.
Oh, really?
Because they changed the architecture from 32-bit to 64-bit.
Interesting.
So those 32-bit apps don't work anymore, and I'm very positive Konami wasn't like, oh, we're not making money on Double Dribble Fast Break anymore. Better pay someone to fix it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's actually a thing that happened. So there's all that. Anybody have stray thoughts?
I think that the intro is a little too long.
Yeah. Yes. You watch the whole time.
The entire crowd converges on a stadium
from three different directions.
Yeah. And
also, where is that stadium?
I don't know what city it's supposed to be in, but I think there's like palm trees.
But you know, it's in the United States of America.
because they all go in, and then you just see some like you see some fireworks, and then some. I guess guys on jetpacks
or something blimps pull
up a giant American flag, and I'm like, I thank you, Konami, for being very very hospitable to the Americans.
That happens every time you go to a basketball game.
Every
nobody
time
sees it because everybody's it only happens after everybody gets into the stadium.
You have to remember that this is at the height of the Cold War, and so Konami's just picking a side. You know, they're just letting us know that, you know, they're standing by the United States. I forgot all about that. Thank you for bringing that up, because I'm just like, It looks like, you know, this is a reference only for Long Islanders, but like, it looks like the Nassau Coliseum is where they're going, because it's just like, it's just the stadium, this giant dome stadium, and then a parking lot, you know, like a, just a gray, empty space of things. There's no city backdrop. There's no, there's nothing. It's like, we all just go to the stadium. Yep. And it's sad to think that that many people showed up to watch me steal the ball from the other team 20 times and then shoot three pointers.
Did you win like in the 50s? Was it like the score in the 50s or was it?
No, I wasn't that good. But I think when I started that game, I was losing convincingly.
Yes.
Like 20-4.
Oh, you
not like
come
really
back.
Not
you
being able.
It out.
And then like as I started learning the tricks from Game FAQ, I started, you know, convincingly winning the other way.
Right. See, my best game, I did something similar, but still didn't win. But I was down by quite a bit, and then it kind of all started clicking for
Made
me.
Made it close,
and
yeah.
It was 51-49.
That's
lost.
Not bad.
Yeah, pretty good.
Not bad.
All right, and that brings us over to the essential games list. NBA 2K19, 2K20 on the way. Do you think they'll do 2K20? They'll finally have a reason to change it up.
See, that this is a question that I had like back when it was starting to get to the teens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you could always see that it was a year if it goes like, you know, NBA 08.
Right.
Because it shouldn't start with that. But once you get to like NBA 10, I thought that would be confusing. But they did it.
They did it. They did it. I would like NBA 2K2K.
2K2K.
Why not? It doesn't make sense now that I think about it, but it sounds nice. It's kind of like Double Dribble, right?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do that. You can't actually even do that in this game. There's no way to control how you dribble the ball.
There should be a button.
And so for that reason, I'm voting it. No.
I thought you could double dribble.
You can double dribble?
I don't think you can do that.
I don't think so. Double dribbling is when you have both hands on the ball.
Or if you hold the ball and then dribble again. I don't know how you do that in this game.
I mean, how did we... No, that's different, though. That's something... traveling when you...
No, okay, so double dribbling is you're going with the ball, then you hold it,
right,
and you can
and
pivot with it, and then you start
dribbling again. And I'm pretty sure there's a way if you, like... Oh, maybe it is. Maybe you can only travel in this game.
Wait,
I'm
so
pretty sure there's a way that you can like go to shoot,
do
but then
either
keep
of those
dribbling.
Things.
Can I get some clarity?
I definitely got one of those. It might have been traveling.
What I was thinking,
like,
double
so traveling
dribbling
is just walking with the ball.
Yes, but I thought double dribbling was when you just dribble with both hands.
No, it's not.
You're not allowed to do that,
double dribbling
is
when you
right?
have two basketballs.
But you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to dribble with
I mean,
both hands.
I just
right?
don't think it's like it's going to do you any good if you do that.
Yeah,
like I don't think it's illegal. I just think it's stupid.
Wow, okay, so here I go. I'm learning.
I actually surprised you said that and we didn't say anything.
I only played basketball for 1 year at the Y, and I was like 8, and the coach thought I was so bad that he just told me, go home and practice your dribbling. So 500 with each hand.
There you go.
That was how I learned how to play basketball.
Well,
thanks, coach.
Was it essential?
The coach, the training, and the Y. Inessential.
Oh, okay.
I felt bad saying that the Y is inessential, but like if you need it, go to it. But don't abuse it if you don't need it.
If I didn't double dribble in this game, I traveled. I did one of those things in this game. I don't remember how.
I don't know
but,
how you can do.
But
either
I think
things.
I like went to shoot, but never released or something.
Oh,
and then it was, like, it was like I had held the ball, but then I started moving.
Maybe
again.
Okay.
Bigger question for you here, Joe. Is knowing this going to affect your vote?
Yes.
Okay.
1,000%.
Okay. So, Sean, I think you need to remind the viewers at home what the essential games list is now, because they're thinking, like, we're in that segment now, and we're not talking about voting.
We got on a little bit of a sidetrack, but the essential games list is a point in the show where we vote to see if we want to add a game to the essential games list.
Which you can find at www.nostalgiacast.com/essential.
Yes, that is the URL. And it will be added to a cornucopia of great games such as Super Mario Brothers and others.
That's all you can remember at the top of the head. Not Castlevania or Kid Icarus or Legend of Zelda or somehow Slalom.
I mean, like, I figured they'd get the idea. But
okay, I get it. Yep, those are our essential games, and we're going to now determine...
if this adds to it. And
Joe.
Well, I feel like you really wanted to go there, but I think that these sports games, I think we've said this before, have a little bit of a tougher point of entry. Like, it's hard for me to vote a sports game essential, because I feel like a lot of them are doing, even though we haven't seen another basketball game yet, they really build off of each other. They do a lot of similar things to each other. I think I liked this game maybe a little more than you guys, maybe because I didn't notice the exploits.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun. I thought it was fair with the way I was playing it. And I thought it was like a really good presentation of it, maybe a little too much presentation sometimes, but overall it's not like it didn't blow me away really. I mean, I'm probably not going to go back and play this on my own, but you know, I don't think it's a pass.
Sean.
I think that Double Dribble has a lot of fun to be had. But the fact that there are these game breaking ways to play definitely takes away from that. The fact that it is a sports game more or less like disqualifies this from the essential games list just because of how those games are. But I'm not saying that didn't have fun. Like, I like this game. I think it's a little janky, but I had fun with it.
I'd say play this game with friends. Like, I liked Joe's tip about learning with the CPU and then playing with friends. That's definitely recommended if you also have friends who are familiar with this game. You're just really going to get a stomping if they know how to play this game and you don't. But I think this is a game that everybody should play just as much as everybody should also play NES Golf, you know, which is a game that I actually love. So I'm not being ironic there. But I'm saying, like, these are games that clearly have better versions in the future, right? The basketball has been done better since then. Golf has been done better since NES Golf. But I would still say go back and play those games just to see how they were done, what was done to them, how they went about, like, using the NES's limitations to make an NES-style version of those games. So I think, like, this is a totally competent basketball release, despite the flaws. But the flaws and, to Sean's point, the, like, game-breaking nature of it, like, the things that you can do to manipulate the game, kind of disqualify it from being an essential game. There's no way people are going to say, like, oh, if you haven't played Double Dribble, you haven't played video games. You know? That's just never going to be a sentence anyone utters. So for me, it's not essential.
And yeah.
And that is three no's. And so the search continues for another essential game.
If we had voted it in, though, that would have been it.
We would have stopped the search. We're only looking for one more. Then we're all going to go onto a private island and just take those games. Yeah, you know, when you're
all the money we're making off this podcast.
Yes, that's what we were doing. With all the money, we're going to buy our own island.
Are you guys cold?
Yes, it's very cold in this room.
Yeah, so maybe we should wrap this up. You know, Nostalgia is a podcast. It's a website. It's a Twitter account. It has an email.
It's a revolution.
Contact at nostalgiacast.com.
Join the revolution.
It's a revolution. Yep. You'll usually, on your walk to the subway or, you know, your walk through town hall, you know,
or if you just want to sit in your room and do nothing.
Well, I was going on a
us.
Different route here, Sean. I was talking about how, like, on your walks to these places, you usually see people handing out brochures, you know, like. Take one of those brochures. They're probably from us. We enlisted people to hand out brochures about Nostalgia and let people know about the cause, because Nostalgia is a revolution. It is. We are working on the first, you know, it's like a GoFundMe Kickstarter hybrid that is going to work on just having Nintendo. We're going to try to buy them.
Yeah. We're trying to buy Nintendo
and have them just make NES games going forward.
We're also
re-release the NES and just make brand new ones.
We're also searching for an electable candidate to run as the first NostalgiaCast party member.
Yeah, for presidency.
For president.
Yep, we are looking. Anybody who has ever thought they should be president should apply for this job.
Yeah.
Again, our emails are contact@nostalgiacast.com. I urge every single one of you to tell me why you should be the Nostalgia president.
And part of the revolution. And actually, the poster boy of the revolution.
Or maybe just why you like Double Dribble. You can also email and tell us that as well.
Small
Joe, you look like you want to say something, or you want to maybe say that we didn't mean anything we just said.
No. I think that's all fine.
Great.
I got nothing.
Yep. And don't forget, we got show notes on the website. We got Twitter with at NostalgiaCast, where I post a bunch of images of stupid stuff that relates to video games. Stupid stuff. And also, I'm on Twitter. I'm Michael Esposito, and you can find me on @EspositoFilm on Twitter, and I'll talk to you soon.